Hi, I'm Al Mancini, the creator of the Neon Feast app, which offers honest recommendations for all levels of great Las Vegas dining, both on and off the strip. It's unvarnished insights from local chefs, restaurateurs, and food journalists. And when I want the best food intel for Southern California, I listen to the SoCal Restaurant Show on AM 830 KLAA Radio.
And welcome back. It is the Easter holiday weekend version of the SoCal Restaurant Show, and we're here with you every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. until 12 noon right here on AM 830 KLAA, the home of Angels Baseball. And you can also catch us on the AM 830 Angels app. I'm Andy Harris, the executive producer and co-host of the show. Thanks for sharing a little of your holiday weekend with us. We appreciate it. And we're enthusiastically presented each and every week by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats. And we are returning to Las Vegas, and we are speaking with food and entertainment journalist Al Mancini. Al, as if you didn't have enough to do with all you're doing with the Neon Feast app and the Food and Loathing podcast, which a new episode drops every Friday, I believe, you also have a new Las Vegas Dining News website. Tell us about that, because, Al, I don't know where you find the time.
Well, in this case, I just had to find somebody super talented to do this. It's called neonnews.vegas. So, of course, it is a spinoff of Neon Feast. It's supported by the Neon Feast app. But it's really a way to kind of take the podcast Food and Loathing, which I do with Samantha Gemini Stevens, another local food writer, and to take the stories that we do on that podcast and get them out there into a kind of, I don't want to say print form, but, you know, an online form, a blog form. Because I know not everybody listens to podcasts. Trying to get people's attention for a 60, 70-minute podcast every week can be tough. You're either a podcast person or you're not. But the thing is, we have amazing chefs on this podcast all the time. Some weeks we have 6, 7, even 8 Las Vegas chefs, including some huge names. And we want to make sure we get the news out. We want to make sure that there's another place for people who don't listen to podcasts to hear what they said. So we take some small excerpts. We take what we think is the key fact that a chef may have brought to us. We take the stories that we think people are going to want to hear about, you know, even after the podcast's over, and we excerpt them out. Now, Gemini, who is my co-host on the podcast, she is the editor-in-chief of neonnews.vegas. So it's really her baby, and I can't wait to introduce you to her next time you're here in town. But, you know, we've been putting some stories up there that come from the podcast. We're about to have Bob Barnes, who is, you know, probably Las Vegas' premier beer and beverage writer. In fact, he is, and he has been for years and years. He's one of my experts on Neon Feast. He has been writing a What's Happening About Town column over at offthestrip.com. That company's no longer in business, so he's been bouncing around from place to place. We gave him a home. We want any local Las Vegas food writers that don't have a place to write to come over and write for us as well, because it's getting harder and harder for those of us who really like to type out sentences and paragraphs to find places to write about food these days. So I figured, you know, what the heck, Gemini was willing to do all the hard work, and why shouldn't we do this, man? Let's just try to open it up and keep the conversation going. I just always want to have as much of a conversation about the Las Vegas food scene as we can. And, you know, I'm inspired by people like you, man, who are just so well-known in your area, and people know that they can just tune in and hear a good conversation about food.
Al, I appreciate that. Now, jumping into, and there are many LA connections with Las Vegas chefs, but one of the most honored, and he got the key to the city in the last few days, is an executive chef restaurateur who I know you've known for a long time and have great respect for. That's being James Trees. His original restaurant has been redone and relocated in a Fare Thee Well. And very unusually, because Mrs. Goodman does not give away too many keys to the city of Las Vegas, you know, James is now a recipient of that. So set the stage and tell us a little bit about the new Esther's Kitchen, because I know this is going to be a new Arts District landmark.
Yeah, well, Esther's Kitchen, you know, it's impossible to overstate how important Esther's Kitchen has been to the development of the Las Vegas Arts District. They were just one of the first people who took a real risk down there. They had a couple cocktail bars had and some breweries, but far as a serious restaurant, James Trees, a Vegas son who had worked out in Los Angeles for a long time, he came back to Las Vegas. He opened up this tiny restaurant. He didn't do it with all the corporate hoopla. It was really a true chef's passion project, you know, that you could tell was done on a shoestring budget and was dedicated to keeping people in this up-and-coming neighborhood fed at a reasonable price. This crazy idea that you could give people hearty, you know, California-influenced Italian food at a good price, right? And it blew up. It was the right restaurant at the right time, but it was tiny. It was designed on a budget, and it was always impossible to get in there. So about 6 years in, the Arts District in Las Vegas has been completely renovated. I know that a lot of people from California don't have time to explore when they're here, but you really need to check out the Arts District. We have a whole list on the Emphys. But so much of that is because of Esther's Kitchen. So they finally moved to a much larger space. It's about three times the size. James was given the key to the city. It's just such this fantastic story of success and of real urban development, which I know you see that in Southern California, where somebody will go into a neighborhood that doesn't have much going on and they'll really help change the course of it with a great restaurant. James was one of those people that took a big risk, and it paid off for the entire city, the entire valley, and he deserves all the honors that he's getting. I've been into the new restaurant. I gave him a week or two. I went in for brunch last week. I'm going in for dinner tonight. So I'll be reporting on that on next week's episode of the Food and Loathing podcast. But, you know, he has a new pizza oven there, so much more space. It's really an outdoor space that hasn't even been activated yet, so I can't imagine what he's going to do there. And it's just two or three doors down from the original spot. So if you know where Esther's Kitchen was, it's right in the heart of the Arts District, and it's a great walk. You go there before or after you have see a show at the theater around the corner. I mean, there's so much to do down there, and Esther's is right in the heart of it by all the breweries, by the great wine bar around the corner from it. So there's just a lot to do to make it a centerpiece of a trip into the Las Vegas Arts District.
Al, again, we can't say enough wonderful things about James. And I have to be careful about saying this, but you always know the L.A. connection that Chef James has, because more times than not, he is wearing an L.A. Dodgers hat. And I have to be careful about that. But that is one of his trademarks. Now, Al, before we run out of time, last time we were talking about the new restaurants in the Fontainebleau, and you were just about to start your explorations there because there are dozens of restaurants. But you just recently have reported everybody is looking for that ultimate burger in Las Vegas. Who is this Josh Capon, and what is so special about Capon's burgers in the Fontainebleau?
Josh Capon is, you know, a TV chef, a celebrity chef. He's done a lot of appearances, but he is known for Capon's burgers. And I just went up there to check them out. He was in town. It was in their food court at the Fontainebleau. And I'd say at the heart of what makes them really, really good is that they use Pat LaFreda's beef, right? So that, of course, one of the best butchers in the country. So you're starting off with fantastic beef when you eat there. They bake their rolls in-house. It is a fast food style burger. It's in a food court. It's a very good burger at that level. And I enjoyed it a lot. You know, I'm just finding my way around Fontainebleau a little at a time now. I've been to probably four or five restaurants, and that was a solid burger when you're doing the food hall thing.
Is it crazy expensive?
No, but I full disclosure, mine was free that day. I didn't even see the prices they were handing them out. So sorry about that.
But they
keep their prices on par. You know, I mean, you go to a food hall. At this point in Las Vegas, food halls have really almost completely replaced buffet for that budget, quick, casual, you know, I just want to get in. I don't want to spend a lot of money. I want to have something fast. And, food halls are part of the Vegas experience when you're trying to get by on a budget. And this is a fantastic addition for that.
Now, Al, in our final minute, usually it's the LA chefs that are going to Las Vegas to open a restaurant. But there's an instance now where a Las Vegas chef, who was the chef de cuisine for many years at Border Grill in Las Vegas at Mandalay Bay, is now the major domo at a very prominent restaurant in San Diego. But what I want you to talk about is the expansion of Barbecue Mexicana from Mandalay Bay to the Burbs with Mary Sue and Susan, basically taking a concept that Mike Miner originally developed.
Yeah, Mike Miner, when he was back with Border Grill, actually at a time that he was away from Border Grill, I think he first developed Barbecue Mexicana in a food truck. I think I was his first customer on the first day of that food truck. And then eventually he went back. He worked with those two at Border Grill. They developed it. Now he's in San Diego right now. He's doing fantastically well at Margaritaville, running that hotel for them. But, or not the whole hotel, but the food program. And in the meantime, here in Las Vegas, Mary Sue and Susan have finally taken Barbecue Mexicana, taken it beyond the casinos, taken it beyond the stadiums and the arenas, because they were in all of those already, and taken it to 5 minutes from my house, which makes me so happy, on the west side of Las Vegas, on Sunset Road at Durango Drive. And this is really, you know, it's 5 minutes up the 215 from Mandalay Bay, so it's pretty easy to get to. It's just quick casual. It's barbecue with Mexican influences, and I love it, man. I'm so happy to have that in my neighborhood. This whole area, the off-strip scenes all over Las Vegas are blowing up right now, and that's great. And I should just tell you, another person, because I'm coming maybe to see Mike Miner in within the next few weeks, and while I'm out there, I also want you to take me out to Truly Pizza in Dana Point. Have you been out there yet?
Oh, actually, I was just there this week, and he's and he's going to be on the show on the 13th. Chris, who you know.
Excellent. So yeah, man, I'm going to hopefully
Good timing there, Al. You know, definitely we'll do all of that. Al, as we need to say goodbye, what is the best website or two websites to follow the Al Mancini?
Yeah, if you want to follow me, you can follow me at Al Mancini Vegas. But, you know, I'm trying to do a bit more on the TikTok front. So over there, try Neon Feast Guide, and you'll see me, an old man, trying to do videos.
Ladies and gentlemen, food and entertainment journalist, Las Vegas-based Al Mancini. Always enjoy catching up with him. You are listening to the SoCal Restaurant Show. When we return, we're up to Sonoma County with Three Sticks Wines. It is the SoCal Restaurant Show. We're proudly presented by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats. Don't wander far.